Skagway students develop a plan to increase pedestrian safety in their town. And the municipality of Skagway continues to try to establish a lease rate for White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more are up next. Skagway robotics team, the Crosswalk Kangaroos, developed a crosswalk plan for the city. The fifth graders say new pedestrian crossings will improve public safety and could pull double duty as public art. KHNS's Claire Strempel reports.
Six students took the mic at Thursday's assembly meeting to present their proposal for about 24 new crosswalks at key intersections throughout the city. Parents videotaped and snapped photographs. Nina Hischer explained that the crosswalks could be more than a traffic safety marking.
We also would like to add some public art and show our support for LGBTQ plus people through a rainbow crosswalk, celebrate our Tlingit history through a formline crosswalk, and add to Pullen Creek streamline stream walk with a salmon stream crosswalk.
The students interviewed city officials and business owners to craft their proposal. Resident Jamie Bricker said as a representative for White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, she was impressed by their initiative and preparedness. She was also present when the group proposed a traditional formline crosswalk at the Skagway Traditional Council Board.
But the fact that they presented this to the council and gave us the opportunity, essentially asking for permission in our native land to do something like that, I was just very impressed with you guys. So
the mayor, manager, and assembly congratulated the students on their hard work. The assembly sent their proposal to the finance committee for review. The finance committee's next meeting is November 13th. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Claire Strempel.
The municipality of Skagway has not yet decided how much rent White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad should pay to lease the waterfront property. A third appraisal of the Tidelands lease did not help the assembly reach a decision at Thursday's meeting. Claire Strempel has more.
Every 5 years, the Tidelands lease rate is adjusted based on the appraised value of the property. That adjustment is written into a 55-year lease. Last year, two appraisers calculated dramatically different values for the waterfront. The municipality and the railroad are at a stalemate over which value is correct. The assembly approved borough manager Brad Ryan's request to seek outside counsel before it takes action.
I want some time, though, to go out, ask the right questions, and come back to a proposal with them. Because there seems to be a lot of back and forth between the two different appraisers, the methodology, and the interpretation at least.
Different appraisal methodologies are the reason Horan & Company's appraisal is $12 million less than real estate firm Integra's appraisal. Horan & Company has been appraising the land for decades. Integra's valuation would raise the rent by about 700%. The six-month-old appraisal is no longer valid after this week and would need to be updated if the assembly decided to adopt it. At Thursday's meeting, Assemblymember Orion Hansen called the current rent a terrible deal for the municipality. The railroad pays about $127,000 a year for nearly 67 acres of waterfront property. But he said the municipality should honor the commitment it made in the 1960s.
I think everybody in this room thinks $127,000 a year is a laughable sum. However, I'm going to give an analogy here. I built a beautiful house 3 years ago, and I was under contract. And I made a bad bid, and I lost money. And I think we're at the end of a 55-year contract here.
He said a change to that contract is likely to involve litigation. He was the sole vote against outside counsel. Manager Ryan says he wants to learn which appraisal is defensible before the municipality enters into negotiations. The municipality has been working to adjust the lease rate since mid-2018. White Pass is still paying the lease rate established in 2013. Reporting in Skagway, I'm Claire Strempel.
The U.S. Forest Service kicked off a series of public meetings all over Southeast Alaska this week to discuss why it is seeking a full exemption to the roadless rule in the Tongass National Forest. The federal agency explained it didn't anticipate big changes in the Tongass as a result of the exemption, but some in the crowd weren't convinced. KRBD's Eric Stone reports.
The Forest Service's second-in-command in D.C., Chris French, faced largely skeptical crowds in Ketchikan. He explained that his boss, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue, opted for making the Tongass National Forest fully exempt from the roadless rule because that's been the position of the state of Alaska all along.
His instructions to us is that he thought that the exemption was most responsive to the petition that we received from the state.
Southeast Alaska Subsistence Regional Advisory Council Chairman Donald Hernandez fired back. He says that ignores consultations with subsistence groups, tribes, and public comment that have all been clear. Keep the roadless rule in place.
Basically, the governor and probably our legislators wanted a full exemption, so that's what they got.
Others on the council shared concerns that eliminating the rule could mean more logging of old-growth timber stands. That could harm deer habitat and impact subsistence hunting. Gloria Burns of Ketchikan Indian Community, the federally recognized tribal government, complained that tribes aren't being heard throughout this process.
You know, that doesn't give me any faith. I feel as though Washington, D.C. is looking down at me and saying, hey, it's just going to be this way.
She testified at the subsistence hearing that the roadless rule helps protect the animal and fish habitat from being degraded.
And that we all rely on a healthy ecosystem to be able to take care of our needs when it comes to subsistence.
Youth leaders also spoke up in favor of keeping the roadless rule in place. 15-year-old high school student Shania Murphy says the coastal rainforest around Ketchikan is part of her Alaska Native identity.
And when you log that forest, it's going to be like cutting my arm off because this place is a part of me.
Though most of the assembled were critical of the direction the Forest Service is taking, the roadless rule has its local critics as well. Ketchikan Gateway Borough Mayor Rodney Dial says he hopes relaxing restrictions on logging could help the local economy.
Initially, we hope that it's going to support some of the local sawmills and maybe lead to some specialty businesses across Southeast.
His sentiments were among a handful who applauded the federal government looking to roll back the Clinton-era rule. But they were in the minority, as more than a dozen were critical of any change for the roadless rule in the Tongass National Forest. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org. You can also check out our podcast on the NPR One app and Stitcher.